Hi, everyone. It's April, and today I'm here with Emma, our producer. She's going to take Tony's place because Tony couldn't make it today. And I also wanted to announce to everybody the promo that we're doing for $20 off on a half-hour session. Due to the fact that we're trying to accommodate all the requests, we're going to have to extend the time because we've run out of time slots because we had an overwhelming response. So we're going to run the promotion through Sunday, October 5th, so that we can accommodate everybody's time. So if you still want to get in on this, it was originally for September 30th, but because we've run out of time slots, we are now going to do it till Sunday, October 5th. So if you want to get us a session, give us a call or write into us at aprilreadings@aol.com. We also have all of the animals in my domain are all really good. We finally got past the sickness, the herniated discs. We're finally in a nice little place here where everybody's, and I don't have half the house on medication. So it's kind of nice right now just to be doing that. And everybody's doing good. I am blessed to have everybody be healthy and not having to take a string of medications anymore. So, Emma, how are y'all your babies doing over there?
Mine are doing much better. Waffles had a little case of like this pancreatitis and then also like a skin problem. And so what ended up happening was that we had to treat the pancreatitis first. By the time we were able to get him on medication for the skin problem, it was so bad. And he lost so much fur. He lost his eyebrows. He's got these little brown eyebrows, and he lost 3/4 of them on each one. So now he looks all funky. He almost can't tell if he's upset, happy, or whatever, because he can't see the emotions in his face anymore. But those will grow back. And other than that, he's so much better now. So I can't complain. He's been back on my lap. He sits on me every time I'm on the computer at home, and just kind of I think he knows my business more than I do.
He probably does. He could probably run the whole show without you.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Okay, well, let's get started. I'm going to go get Veronica. And why don't you say hello to everybody for me?
All righty. Well, hello, everybody. It's been a while. I'm glad to be back on here and talking with you guys and talking with Veronica and asking her all these questions. If you want to ask a question, all you have to do is go to innerwhispersradio.com and put a comment on one of the shows, and we will be more than happy to look into it and try to get it on the next show. So, Veronica, are you there?
Yes, we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. So, are you ready to answer some questions? Because I think we've got some pretty good ones.
We are. Yeah, it looks like we've got some good ones. Yes, let's go.
All right. So our first one is from Chris. And Chris asks, how do you know if I am reaching my ego or reacting to my soul space?
Well, the ego is an important part of your experience. However, the ego can go negative on you. And you could be moving away from the intentions, the good intentions that you have without even realizing it. When you are reacting from your soul, there's always a lighter feel to it. It doesn't feel so driven. The ego is a very driven part of you. And if you feel like you're driving home a message or driving, into something that you want to say, if it's pushing and coming out real choppy, then you know you're reacting from your ego. If you're reacting from your soul space, you're going to take a moment to allow your energy to go in the right direction. You're not going to be so driven to be the first one across the finish line, so to speak. But there are so many different ways egos can express themselves. This is one of them. And you don't need to worry about the ego itself. But if it becomes negative, then you do need to do something about it.
Absolutely agree with that. So our next one is from Janice and says, Janice asks, how do I combat fear within myself? It seems to dominate my life, and I'm having a hard time functioning. I honestly think this is going to impact a lot of people. So, what do you have for advice for her?
Well, you all have to understand that fear comes from a not knowing place. It's from a questionable place. And a lot of times one will put up the borders for fear to try to protect themselves. But what they're all really doing is creating more fear and making it a huge thing you've got to get over. You have to understand that you are not going to be victim to anything fearful unless you project it out in front of you and it comes towards you. And you can project fear in a lot of different ways. Just by listening to a television broadcast can make you feel fearful. There's all kinds of things that can make you feel fearful. So what you have to do is slow down a little bit and take a look at the fear before you react. Because a lot of times it's someone else's projection and really has no merit. Or it can be so far removed from you that you won't be affected by it, but you're building it up inside of you like it's a personal attack. And that goes for things that are like on the other side of the world, and you go, oh, I fear war. I fear, I'm a fearful, we're all going to get hurt. That's projecting something that's happening far away from you. What you have to do is learn to discern what you're projecting, what's actually happening, and what you really have to be fearful of. And we think the only thing to fear is a disconnect from your own self. That is the thing you should fear the most. Always note and go to your internal space when you find yourself being fearful and say, I want to look at this thoroughly. I'm not going to react fearfully until I have looked at it all and thought about it a little bit before I start projecting fear back to it and putting more fear into the situation by doing so. We know that's a little complicated, but that's what happens every day. And a lot of you have very vivid imaginations, and a bad, fearful thing could not even happen. And you can live through it some other fearful thing that's going on someplace else and have the same damage done to you by the fear. So learn when to look at something and learn when to not fear it, because logically it can't do that. So we'll say that start a practice where you are calmer. Start a practice where you examine the fear first to see what the implications are. And even if it's something that could affect you, always know that you have the tools within you to get past anything. You didn't come to this planet unprepared. You came to this planet with everything you need to get through a life. So stop. If you're starting to be fearful, don't react that way until you've really looked at the whole situation. And remember that if you start projecting fear onto it, it's going to get worse. Decide you're going to look at it and say, well, I'm looking at all the pieces of it, and I really don't need to be that afraid. And I'm not going to be. You make the decision internally. It's a good thing to think about, and perhaps we will talk more on this subject as time goes by. And if you have any further questions or would like us to go further into this type of thing, we can.
Very, very good answer. Now, our next one is from Brewster, and Brewster asks, I am an empathic healer. How do I protect myself while working with patients?
Ah, well, it is very important to protect yourself when you're working on patients, especially if you're an empath, because empaths have their energy field wide open and ready to give it. But not everybody's worth receiving it. Some people don't deserve your empathy and are not going to be conducive to having to help someone heal. We'd say, especially if you're a healer and you have a practice, before you go into each session, you surround yourself with the white light, like everybody tells you, but you also say to yourself, I'm protected. I'm coming in to do good. I'm not coming in to receive anything here. I'm coming in to give. And therefore, there is a boundary here so that this can't spill off on me, but I am still going to put everything I have into the giving of this energy. And by doing it in that powerful way, you can combat the difficult idiosyncrasies that someone might bring to the table, a patient might bring to the table. As a healer, especially one with empathy, you really have to be careful that you don't take on someone else's difficulty. And with practice, it becomes second nature. But if you're just beginning to have a practice, then really be mindful, because the majority of you are wonderful healers. And it would be a sad thing to not be one, especially one with empathy, should you find it difficult. So try to find a way here that you can get through it and protect yourself as best as you can, because healers are needed. You're a commodity that is well needed in this culture, and we don't want any of you dropping by the wayside.
All right. So our last question is from Louise. And Louise says, my family members are deeply religious. They attend church services regularly, and they are very disappointed that I prefer time with God in nature. Going into some building just doesn't resonate with me. Am I wrong, or is my family wrong? Hold on. I'm going to reread that one.
What? All right.
Our next question is from Louise. And Louise says, my family members are deeply religious. They attend church services regularly. They are very disappointed that I prefer to spend time with God in nature. Going into some buildings just don't resonate with me. Am I wrong, or is my family on the right path?
Well, everybody has created the path they wish to follow. And the culture is dominated by religious organizations that want to gather people together so that they can worship God, be good people, etc. You decided you want to do it a bit a different way. Perhaps you're a bit more evolved personally than the family. Now, this is not a derogatory remark. Some people are further along their evolutionary path, and it doesn't make them better or worse, but it does make them different. And God does not designate that he wants everyone to go into a church. He doesn't designate that he wants, you know, a religious practice that he wishes you all to participate in. Fortunately, the culture offers a variety of different religious perspectives that you can call upon. However, if you choose to go connect with God in a forest somewhere with the trees, it's also very powerful, because what better place where things are growing and there's, you know, there's animal, there's life, there's the trees are blowing. It's a perfect place to connect with God. Not everybody needs the social order of a religious moment. Sometimes a more advanced soul, and sometimes even one that's not so advanced, will resonate better with the natural environment of the planet, because we're all part of it. That is something that you should not worry about. Go ahead and do exactly what you need to do. And tell your family that you are making your own choices on the subject. And we know you're disappointed, but ultimately it is my choice how I wish to connect with spirit. It's a very good question, because a lot of people go through that, especially those who are, you know, very focused in metaphysical things and don't believe, you know, that God, there's a God that's going to punish you if you don't do things right. That worked really well in medieval times, but it doesn't work so well now. And if you wish to be a part of a religious organization, there's no judgment from spirit on that, but do not condemn or be disappointed with somebody who has an alternative way of doing things. There are so many of you that there's going to be thousands of different ways to do things, and they all should be accepted just like a traditional religious moment.
All right, Veronica, that was our last question. So I am going to have you take a break, and I'm going to tell everybody how they can reach in and submit their questions for next time.
All right.
All right, everybody. Well, that was some great questions, great answers, and I really hope that they help you on your journey and trying to find answers that you want. Now, if you have any questions, all you have to do is go to innerwhispersradio.com and go to any of our shows right in the comments, and we will make sure that we look at it. And if it's something we haven't answered, we will absolutely put it in one of our upcoming shows. So just keep listening and see what else we have coming up. Your question might actually be featured on one of these episodes. So, Veronica, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
All right.
Well, we think today is a good day to talk about giving thanks, gratefulness for what you do have. Now, we know you all live in a culture where everybody's aspiring to something. Everybody wants something. Everybody wants what they want when they want it, kind of environment. But a lot of individuals don't take the time to be grateful or to give thanks in a very solid way. You can't dismiss the gifts that you're given by the universe. You can't do that. You have to acknowledge, and you really should be grateful and give thanks. By giving thanks, you are creating more abundance to come towards you. If you are not giving thanks, you're sort of like a little disconnect. You're getting all this energy to create whatever it is you want to create. You've got it, you do it, and then you just meander away? No. Every day, count your blessings. We know you've heard that before, but we're seriously asking you to consider it every day. By complaining that you don't have this, that, or the other, or this isn't working out, that's not going to be helpful either. What you have to do is look at your day and find all the goodness in it. And bring that forward and water it like a flower. Don't bring the stuff that didn't happen or that didn't go right or was upsetting. Don't bring that forward and analyze it. Keep looking for something to be grateful for, to give thanks for, because by doing so, you are causing that to expand more than what you don't want. It's not all that complicated, and it's not all that hard to give thanks. You can say it in one sentence and it works. And it's not a time, not taking up your time too much. So start that practice. And by looking for the good in every day, you're going to create a better day because your focus is in the good realm. If something goes wrong, immediately find something in it that went right so that you can turn the tables on the negativity. That is how you should be operating in life. So think about it and maybe give it a try. It might change everything for the good for you.
All right. Well, that was our show today, and I will see you all next week. Hopefully, Tony will be back by then, and I know she loves talking with you. So, take care, enjoy, stay safe, and we'll see you again next week. Bye, everybody.